Hello and welcome back from wherever your summer break took you. I'm Damien Wild, Editor-in-Chief of EG. Real estate's new school term hasn't really started until EG's Future of Real Estate podcast is back on the airwaves. Well, we're here in the EG studio now and ready for whatever autumn decides to throw at us. And it looks like we picked quite the week to return. While Parliament continues to disgrace itself, the real estate world has continued to turn. There may be warnings around falling investment in UK real estate, the retail crisis may have cost into its place in the FTSE 250, and infrastructure investment may be firmly in the spotlight with HS2's arrival delayed. But there are positives too. Record profits at Barratt, a soaring valuation for retailers like Dunelm, and an index-busting performance by listed industrial companies. Another FTSE rising star in recent weeks has been Derwent London. With the announcement of a first half total return of 3% and £18 million in lettings, its half year results last month were well received. It was a nice debut for new Chief Executive Paul Williams, who took over from the universally admired John Burns in May. And I'm delighted Paul is here with me today. Welcome to the EG studio, Paul.
Very nice to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Great. Have you had a good summer?
Very good summer. Busy summer. We have our interims, as you talked about earlier, at the beginning of August, so we're preparing for that. And I had a week away last week, which was very nice, but I'm ready to go.
Great stuff. And those interims were very, very good in this climate.
Well, we've been busy. I mean, lettings continue to go well. If you add the half two lettings to our half one, we've done £23 million this year, which compares nicely to £26 million from last year. What's been interesting, a lot of it has been on expansion space. If you look at our Brunel lettings and also our recent letting at 80 Charlotte Street, it's for tenants that want to expand within London.
So business is, in this world at least, is going pretty well.
Business in our market, in the sort of mid-market design-led space, is going very well. We've got really good demand. Space is letting well. It's been a busy two or three years, and we've done about £100 million of lettings since the vote. So despite the noise in the media, we're busy.
That's really interesting. So since June 2016,
yep.
£100 million in lettings. If you can think back to that time when the vote came in, you know, real estate felt like it was, it was set for a very dire period, but it has surprised on the upside.
It has surprised on the upside. We were just starting on two schemes, Brunel Building and 80 Charlotte Street. We held our nerve. We've seen many cycles, and we thought both of those buildings would be very good. They would attract good tenants. We would prove right. So we've been consistent throughout. Brunel's fully pre-let, having just got practical completion in May. 80 Charlotte Street is 90% let, and it's been good demand. So slightly surprising, but I think if you create the right product, then tenants will come.
Have you bucked the market?
I hope that we've beaten the market, and I think, as I say, if you look at our lettings for our new developments, they're about 7.5% above ERV, so that's pretty good, and transactions are happening relatively quickly.
Great stuff, and we'll come back to the market and the environment in a moment, but you're just over 100 days in now. Yeah. Every leader, I think it's compulsory, isn't it, to have a 100-day plan?
Oh, yes.
Did you have one? Did you execute on it, and what was in it?
Well, my plan is I've been working with John and Simon, etc., for about 30 years, so whilst John, as you quite rightly said, is highly respected, I've been involved with Derwent for many years, so there wasn't an awful lot of things I had to think about or change.
I'll interrupt you there, because I have heard you refer to yourself as a new boy before. Just the 30 years.
Yeah, I feel young. I feel encouraged, and I feel active, and I feel I've got an energy. So as I always say, Fridays are good, but Mondays are better. So I don't see it as much as a probation. I've changed a few things, but I want to make sure that we continue on our success and the great brand we've created.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how, some of the things that you might change and where you do see opportunity. Will we see a radical geographical reinvention of Derwent, different sectors being targeted?
Well, I suppose, firstly, geographically, the names on the tin, Derwent, London. I like the new villages, and I think we could spread a little bit. I like Whitechapel particularly. We've done very well there, and I think there's a good opportunity there, particularly when Elizabeth Line does eventually come along. West is doing quite well. So I think the new villages, I think we can always be a brave. We've often taken a view about going to locations which were not necessarily historically core locations. So I'm happy to do that. We're very much customer-focused business, so I want to be pushing that. I'm keen on amenity. We're looking at technology for our buildings. So I think we've got to keep pushing the boundaries a bit.
So continuing to be a little bit disruptive.
Yes, I was asked this question a few months ago. Are you worried about disruptors? And I think Derwent London were the original disruptors. I am disruptive. That's what my mother says anyway.
good stuff. And, you know, as you say, you've been with the business 30 years. John, chief executive for 35.
Yes.
I think. What sort of chairman is he? Is it a different relationship now?
Yesterday, he's moved out of the office. He's round the corner have an appointment to see each other. He's there for advice and me to phone up and, you know, debate things. We have regular catch-ups, but he's, as I say, he's moved out of the office. I'm the CEO, and that dynamic's changed. But, you know, he's very much a non-executive chairman, but he's in, you know, his experience is very useful to me.
Okay. And looking at that current environment, you know, we're here in the studio Thursday, the 5th of September. You know, we've turned our phones off for an hour. Anything could happen. But yes. But how do you take account of that? Does it affect your hour-to-hour decision-making? Are you glued to the Parliament channel, or is it week-to-week, or no consideration at all?
Well, look, we all listen to the news. We're all aware of what's going on in the world. I mean, what's been interesting dynamic for the last two or three years, as I talked about earlier, the letting market remain really, really strong. What's been difficult for us in the last two, 3 years is buying product. But there's been good competition for the investment market for the sort of thing that we want to buy. You know, we have contingency plans for a bad Brexit if we needed it. So whether it's development pipeline or the property management, as any responsible business would have. But I think we've taken a view that we just keep going forward, keep positive. We have a very, very strong balance sheet. Our loan to value is only about 17.5%. So we've got we're in a very, very strong position. We've raised good money this year with a private placement, another convertible. So I feel very comfortable. And we've all been together and we've seen a few cycles. I was here for the early 1990s and the dot-com bust. So we're aware of things. But at the moment, things seems very good. Lettings are being maintained. We've got good interest in the remainder of our space. Vacancy rates at 1.7%. So I'm aware of the world, but our focus is to keep delivering.
And how about your investors? You're in the middle of something of an investor tour at the moment. You're probably never off an investor tour. Yeah. But what do overseas investors make of the situation? Do you spend a lot of time apologising?
Well, I try not to talk about politics and Brexit.
You must get asked.
We do get asked what's happening with Brexit, and I think the view is no one really knows, but our performance is what they've been interested in. We continue to let, we continue to develop well. We've got two schemes coming forward with both Soho Place and Featherstone. They're very supportive of that because we've been supportive of our pre-letting and our letting. So they understand our business and our model. They like us being in the sector we are in, the mid-market. So yes, they ask about Brexit. Often it's the Dutch or the Americans, what's happening? And of course, I can't really answer that question because it changes regularly.
Of course. And you talked in your interims about and just now that, you know, that competition for buying assets in and around London is only more intense, and a lot of that has been driven by overseas money as well, which may well be only more apparent after there is some sort of resolution to this, whether it's a no deal Brexit or something softer. Do you see competition intensifying?
I see UK's come up a bit more. I think it represents something like 40%. You would have seen we sold the Buckley building half two for about 5% premium to our book cost. And that was UK money that came in. We had good bids for that. I think we had four or five UK companies looking at it. So I think they're back a bit. I suspect there's a little bit of foreign money waiting to see what happens. But there is good demand. There's particularly good demand for anything up the risk curve, which is an interesting dynamic in itself. Anything that's vacant or becoming vacant or an opportunity to let is really well bid. And I think that's off the strength of the letting market.
Okay, and will that affect where you look, do you think?
I think we'll keep looking. You know, we're very lucky. We have a portfolio we can work from within. We've secured two new planning permissions with Baker Street and Holden House. So we're certainly not forced buyers. I'd like to buy if we can, but it's got to be the right sort of Derwent signature on it.
Okay, and again, looking at your interims, you talked within there about the changing forces in the offices market and two dynamics particularly, flexible offices and that two-tier market emerging. Yeah. Do you still see those as the main influencing factors going forward, and how would you rank them?
Well, I'm obviously flexible offices are here to stay. I feel slightly bad about that because I think Derwent were one of the inventors of flexible offices. If you look at our tea building, which we've been doing for about 15 years, we've been doing 3 or 5 year leases for the last 15 years. It's in constant demand. So flexibility is here to stay and has been around for some time. You know, obviously you see the WeWorks and other type organisation take quite a substantial take up last year. It was what, 15%, slightly less than a year before. It's here to see. We see that as complementary. We work with people like the Office Group in our buildings, and we would have 2 or 3 floors with them, and they can provide some breathing space to our tenants. In respect of the second hand market, undoubtedly that has been a bit slower, but I think that plays a little to our strengths, in as much as we're good at refurbishing old buildings, we can reposition buildings. We've just done something interesting in just off Old Street where we've invested some money, tenants taken a new lease at a really good rent. So I think for the professionals, it's an opportunity.
Okay, and those some of those flex providers that you do work with, the Office Group, IWG, Knotel,
No WeWork.
Why is that?
I think WeWork have historically liked to take a whole building, and I'm keen not to subcontract my relationships, right? You know, I'm sure they'll be very successful, but I think for Knotel, we've got them in a couple of buildings, we've got IWG in a couple of our buildings, and we've got the Office Group, and that works for us in part buildings where, as I said, we can provide some breathing space within a building. But, you know, we understand WeWorks have had taken a few buildings, but we haven't signed with them.
Okay. And do you think you might take a story route? BL has created its own branded proposition, others too, Landsec, of course. Might we see Derwent, one of the original flexible providers in this space, offer its own branded product?
I don't think so. We're doing what we call two things, plug and play. For small suites, we're doing the Cat A and the Cat B fit out for sort of 2,000 or 3,000 square foot, which really to help any early tenants who with their fit out costs, and we can spread that over a 3 or 5 year lease, or indeed a 2 year lease. It's only about 20,000 square feet, a small percentage, and I might push that a little bit. We're doing quite a lot of core and flex. We see that quite interesting, where a tenant may take a substantial lease on part of a building and a more flexible lease on other parts of the building. But I'm not going to create a story or a Mayo. I'm sure it's working well for Land Securities, British Land, etc. But for us, we offer a sort of a menu of different offers, you know, different leases according to the building. We're flexible in our approach.
Okay, and the proportion of the portfolio by income that is let to some of those other flex providers, currently about 4%.
Yeah.
I think, do you see that climbing substantially?
Not substantially, a little bit. Having a little bit of it, but I think it goes back, I'd like to control, we're a customer-focused business. I like the fact that we've got the relationship with our occupiers. We'll push it a little bit, but not dramatically.
Okay, and looking a little bit more broadly at the sector and some of the challenges that it's facing, you alluded to one there, sustainability. Reputation is something that we've discussed on this podcast before. Do you see those as headline issues, and is the industry doing enough to confront them?
I think the industry could do better. I think something that we've been dealing with for some time. We have a responsible business committee. We have good ESGs. I think we need to explain it better. I think we need to work with our communities better. But it's something that we'd like to be good neighbours. You know, a reputation is hard earned, and I want to maintain that. You know, BREEAM and EPC, all those things are very important. Our new buildings are innately green. If you look at White Collar Factory, Brunel, they're all rated very highly. But I think it's an important element of the business. It needs to be embedded in. It doesn't need to be a tick list. It needs to be something you really want to do.
Well, you talked recently about bringing forward that target of being a zero carbon business by 2050 to 2030, which isn't very far away for that sort of change.
We're already doing quite a lot, and we've got lots of opportunities within our building. We've got some land in Scotland that can help us as well. So we've got a good sustainability team led by John Davis, the four of them there. We've got some, we're already announced our scientific-based targets. I think there's only one other company that's done that. So it's work in progress, and I think we'll make an announcement in due course.
Okay, and sustainability, reputation, challenges to yields and rents. What do you see other big challenges for the next 12 months?
I see opportunities. I don't worry so much about challenges. Challenges are good because it gives you an opportunity to do something.
That was a relishing smile there, I should listeners.
Yeah, so it's opportunities. I mean, we've actually done very well over buying buildings with problems or whether a leasehold or all the rest of it. So I quite like things that you can unlock. And what we manage and focus on a lot is how well tenants are done, the state of their business, how the grey market's performing, all those sort of things. And at the moment, things are good, but we're obviously aware of global events.
Okay. And how about the team around you? How's that changed?
Well, we've spread things around a bit more. I was very operational for a long time, but you know, we've been a strong team together. Nigel and I have been working for us nearly 30 years. David's, I think, 15 years. Damien, our finance director, is the new boy at only 10 years. And of course, Simon has been with us all the way through. So there's been a spread of a bit more responsibility, Nigel being a bit more development than he was, David more involved in the leasing and asset management. But we're a very strong, focused property team. We're property gurus, really, and we work together. So it's been a good opportunity to sort of spread things around a bit.
And working with people outside, do you think we've talked a lot again in this studio and elsewhere about collaboration with the industry and the importance of working with those who you might previously have considered as competitors, or indeed closer working between the public and private sectors? Do you think that's getting better?
I think so. We've been involved with a number of organisations for some time. Members of WPA, I'm at the moment vice chair. We get involved with all sorts of community groups. We've got two funds, one in the Tech Belt and one in Fitzrovia and Paddington. I've been a member of the Paddington Partnership, where we've been working with British Land and Land Securities, European Land, investing in the area, helping with the community. So I see more of that. I think the industry has an opportunity to work better together. I think what's good for us could be good for our neighbours. So I think we could be better at it.
Okay. And personally, you know, in terms of, you know, you have a very busy period ahead of you, not least the day job and WPA as well, I'm sure will consume more time than you anticipate. What about away from work? How do you relax?
Oh, I've got a very strong family. I like travelling. So I've been married 30 odd years. I've got a very supportive wife. I've got two daughters who are busy maintaining the retail world. They're keeping them occupied, but
that's a challenge and a half.
You know, it is a challenge and a half, but they're doing their best to shop. I've got a very good balance in my life. I'm very lucky. I like working hard. I like working for a very successful business, but I try and make sure I keep myself real and see my family.
Okay, and if and when, I should say, not if I were to invite you back into the studio in 12 months' time, what will success look like over that period?
I'll keep doing more of the same, keep letting well, keep looking, finding new opportunities to invest, starting the next round of schemes, keeping the team very happy, which they are, so pushing the boundaries a bit more. But as I've been saying, evolution rather than revolution.
Okay, well, Paul, thank you very much for joining us today, and enjoy the ride.
Thank you very much.